It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, America.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on yet another installment of a nearly decade and a half long conversation that's been taking place here. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to pick yourself out a screen name and a password and jump into the chat room, the merry multimedia, wacky, zany, real-time extravaganza that takes place in the 3 hours in which this program is live each Monday through Friday evening. Anatole's there right now, so am I, and don't know who's going to be wandering along later. Just don't. Sparky must be in places elsewhere at the moment. But at any rate, we're there, and you should come on by, and the ranks will swell as the program proceeds. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, and you may recall Titanic Tuesday is named for something that happened many, many, many years ago now when our buddy Jim tuned into right-wing morning radio and heard one of the most, one of the most soporific monotones ever to get behind a microphone take a call from one of his knuckle-walking, mouth-breathing followers and who asked, Steve, how come you reckon it is that they is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? Well, I done seen them down in the mines, and we ain't nowheres near the ocean, nowheres near the beach. To which Steve replied, well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. Although, the way I say it, there may be a little bit too much emotion in that, but yes, the movement of the Titanic plates gave rise to something we call here Titanic Tuesday. Still no word on the Titanic little bamboo mats that you use to roll sushi, but, you know, there was a lot of stuff that went down with the Titanic, so we may never know. We may just never, ever know. We have thanks to send out to our subscribers this evening. Thank you very kindly to Stephen. Thank you, Stephen. And thanks as well to our dear friend Charlene. Thank you very kindly to Grace out in New York, up in New York, over in New York, Grace in New York. And thanks very much to Jeff in Oregon. Thank you very kindly, all of you, for being partial sponsors of the program. Our subscribers knock out about a quarter of the monthly funding needs for the program. Someday, maybe. We'll get it up to get it to, you know, half, or, you know, maybe someday all the way to the, then we'll just be thanking subscribers all the time. Thank you very, very kindly, one and all. Thanks also going out to our buddy Gary Laborman, who finished off Chris's challenge last night, so that we have that challenge was met, meaning that we have only $300 to raise this evening. The $100 that was left over from last night, that was left over from Friday, plus tonight. So there we go. There's $300 remaining to stay even. Remember, we're running downhill to finish off fundraising this Friday so that we've got a full week of fundraising-free radio next week, which, golly, I hope we do, because I enjoy that so much, so very, very much. And it's fun not to have to talk about fundraising for a few days. So if you want to help out, run over to headon.live and use the PayPal button or become a brand new Patreon subscriber. Remember, if you subscribe via Patreon, nothing happens until the first day of the first day of the next month. So that's well worth knowing. If you subscribe via PayPal, it comes out on whatever day you subscribe. So if you wanted to become a subscriber at PayPal today, you would join Charlene and Jeff and Grace and Steven as subscribers for this day. Let's see. Yeah, well, by golly, we've gotten it all taken care of and only 5 minutes into the program. Look at us. Got some really good responses about the conversation I had with Dr. Bill yesterday. He picked up the ball where we left off last night. And so you might want to, you want to download Dr. Bill's program for today. It's already available on Podbean and at whiterosesociety.org, and see where he took the conversation. I think you'll find it quite fascinating. And, it's information you're not going to get. They're sure not going to give it to you over on the for-profit media. And there just aren't that many people out there who can devote the time and energy necessary to make it comprehensible in context and within, and also in the big picture. So Dr. Bill's programs go in on my Podbean account, and they're also available at whiterosesociety.org. Okay, thank you very kindly, Scott, noting loud and clear on headon.live and White Rose. P.S. My bridge work is even picking up a faint signal. You might want to consult a medical professional about that, Scott. Not saying, just saying. We're not sending out any terrestrial signals that should be picked up in anybody's bridge work or steel plates in your head from that old car accident or anything like that. But it's Titanic Tuesday, and we got plenty to work with. Let me share a couple of notes. We're off and running. Thank you very kindly to Keith for getting us going this evening. Thank you, Keith. Thank you very kindly. Hopefully you'll have a bunch of company, and we'll knock out that $300, and I'll go and pay a bill, and it'll be awesome. Thank you, Keith. I posted something over on my Facebook page earlier. Because I was just thinking about the whole Kavanaugh thing. And within the context of did he or didn't he, and we'll probably get into some of that a little bit more deeply further in the program. Once again, Julius Geezer has sided with the alleged malefactor, the perp, if you will, talking about how badly he feels. He feels terribly for Brett Kavanaugh and his lovely, lovely wife and his two little girls. Pretty little girls. Remind me of my daughter, Ivanka. No, he didn't say that, mercifully. But yeah, he feels bad for Kavanaugh. Didn't have anything to say about the woman, except to call her the woman. The woman will come forward. She will tell her story. She'll be questioned by representatives of the Senate. And in that moment, that's not just inartful wording. I realized that the stupid fucker doesn't know the difference between the House of Representatives and the Senate of the United States. Yeah. It's a real... I know. But I got to thinking about the fact that, well, in the larger universe of what Brett Kavanaugh is alleged to have done and what I believe he did, that there's also the question of how he got to the point of doing what he did. See, there's a culture here. What is it about Brett Kavanaugh that makes me think of Judge Smales's nephew in Caddyshack? You know, the little shithead who drinks everything in the country club and then throws up in somebody's Porsche. What was his name? The Horn Ad Hoc Research Department will have to look that up. The Throckmorton or something. No. But you know who I'm talking about. There's just something about Brett Kavanaugh that reminds me of that kid. But this is something that is alleged to have happened when Brett Kavanaugh was 17 and his victim was 15. And I just put out there for consideration that, oh, by the way, alcohol consumption by a 17-year-old in Maryland in that time was an illegal act. Spalding, thank you. Mike and Cascadia right there. Freddie, Spalding? Right. I think about 17-year-old Brett Kavanaugh and Spalding. Yes, comes to mind. Drinking everything on the table just in a desperate attempt to get so wasted out of his mind. I mean, it's not even, it's not even to the level of Spicoli. You know what I mean? He was past Spicoli. Does that make sense? What do I mean? I mean this.
I'm so wasted!
You remember the scene where young Sean Penn is like slapping himself in the head with a tennis shoe. That. Now, apparently Kavanaugh and his buddy were into taking it a lot further than that. But the bottom line is, let's say you were a 17-year-old black kid in Maryland, and you were wasted out of your brains, you know, not just once, but twice, three, four, five, six times, whatever, and say some representative of the local constabulary got somewhere near you. At the very least, you would have been facing a juvenile delinquency petition. And, you know, possibly just gunned down in the goddamn street because, you know, murking justice. But that's not how it played out for privileged children like Brett Kavanaugh. If Brett Kavanaugh admits, and see, he has put himself in a corner. Because his denial it's got no wiggle room in it. It didn't happen. I wasn't there. And even if I did, there's not even the even if I did, I was only following orders part. It's not there. She's not telling the truth. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. But you know what? With any kind of cross-examination whatsoever, I'm guessing Brett Kavanaugh is going to have to admit that what his own buddy, Judge, has said about him is true. That he was prone to getting shit-faced wasted. Underage. Mark Judge was his high school drinking buddy. And he said, And he's written in the past in books, he's written about how he has no memory of a bunch of parts of his adolescence because he was so profoundly alcoholically blacked out drunk. You know, Spalding again. You know, so drunk he probably couldn't say, "I'm so wasted." And so he sent a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee, Mark Judge did, saying, I don't have any memory of that. I have no memory of this alleged incident. Brett Kavanaugh and I were friends in high school, but I do not recall the party described in Dr. Ford's letter. More to the point, I never saw Brett act in the manner Ford describes, and I do not want to speak publicly regarding the incidents described in Dr. Ford's letter.
Well, whether he wants to testify or not, it may be necessary to hand him a subpoena, because the underlying question, and it's up to you to decide whether or not it has merit or not. I mean, it's not going to have any impact. It's just, you know, us talking. But is Brett Kavanaugh prepared to say that he never got intoxicated underage? 17, 16 years old, getting all Spalding, vomiting through the open Targa tops of Porsche, at Porsche's at the country club, whatever.
I'm so wasted.
Ron and Raleigh noting what I think. Brett, say it with your teeth clenched, I've been doing it, Brett, is just another privileged, preppy, frat bagger, jag-off that gets away with this kind of shit every day. Failing upward is what they do, and we pay the price. But here's the larger... If he even admits to drinking as a 17-year-old, that was... treated in some circles among people who, young men who say perhaps were much darker than, say, Brett Kavanaugh, as a serious breach of the public good. I wonder if we could find, because in most cases they're sealed. Wonder if you could find out in Maryland how many prosecutions there were for, say, juvenile delinquency relating to alcohol consumption among, say, 17-year-olds in roughly the same time. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'll bet you there would be a significant disparity between the Brett Kavanaughs of the world getting prosecuted and, say, people with darker skin. But again, this guy wants to be a member of the Supreme Court of the United States. And it's looking like he spent a dissolute adolescence. And frankly, drinking underage... Okay, we elected a dry drunk, we didn't elect him, but he became president. A dry drunk became president once upon a time. We called the 8 years that he was in office the reign of error. His name was George W. Bush. He was notorious for his shithead drunken behavior through his misspent youth, which apparently ran up to about age 50. But again, we're not talking about the Supreme Court of the United States. In this case, we are. And if Brett Kavanaugh was a flagrant violator of the laws regarding consumption of alcohol, while some, including our buddy Flavio, apparently think we should just blow past it, and I'm not criticizing Flavio here. I don't think we should. I think he should be brutally cross-examined over it, because, of course, juvenile cases do occasionally reach the court. Just like the case of a young woman who wanted an abortion, a young immigrant girl who had been raped, and wanted an abortion, reached his court, and he did everything in his power to stop her from being able to terminate the pregnancy so that she would have to carry her rapist's baby to term for Jesus. Because he's one of these sicko, right-wing, weird-ass conservative Roman Catholics. You know, Flavio says, Kavanaugh was a slime ball before. He was a slime ball scumbucket before Ms. Blasey Ford came, Dr. Blasey Ford came into the picture. I'm afraid concentrating on Blasey Ford and not on Kavanaugh's amply documented record of mendacity under oath will play right into the Republicans' hands. Here's what'll happen. Kavanaugh will come off as a decent, innocent family man now accosted by the feminazis. You watch. It could happen. But the beating on his mendacity and his proclivities toward perjury don't seem to be carrying a hell of a lot of water either. And I want to be clear about this. I don't care what it takes to stop his nomination, and I don't care what it takes to stop the nomination of the next nominee. And by the way, I'll bet you the next nominee on the Heritage Foundation list will be a woman who hates other women and has had privileged access to to reproductive health care all her life, and is more than happy to take it away from everybody, all the other women who might be on underneath her on the ladder there. I don't care. We've got to get past the midterms. Hope like the Dickens we get any kind of a majority in the Senate. And then listen, and then we can all just sit and listen to chinless Mitch McConnell sing his aria of woe and grief because suddenly a Supreme Court nominee is being treated just like he treated Merrick Garland. Until such time as Robert Mueller issues a final report that says that the President of the United States, Julius Geezer, is as pure as the driven snow and committed and didn't do anything even remotely criminal, and the odds of that happening are right up there with me winning the lottery. Julius Geezer shouldn't be allowed to appoint anything. And we really ought to be having a serious conversation about what Dr. Bill raised last night, the idea of annulment. That everything. We don't just damnatio his memoriae, we damnatio his every actus. Every single executive order, gone, annulled. Every appointment, done. Every regulation, done. Everything that he touched or remarked upon, done. Gone. Because remember, after all, that's what he's been doing with regard to the Obama presidency. But this isn't tit for tat. This is a matter of correcting a gross failure of our system. But job one is stopping Kavanaugh. This lying, most likely sexually abusing, privileged little monster that was raised specifically for this purpose, almost from jump. And by the way, when Mark Judge says, I have no memory of this alleged incident, that's not the same as saying this incident didn't happen. It just means that maybe that night was one of those nights that he was blackout, fallen, drowned, drunk, because that, of course, is what Dr. Ford has suggested. And which he has, by his own admission, said was something that he was known to do, get blackout drunk. So it's all worth consideration. Of course, from where I stand, I would not be at all surprised to see Mitch McConnell try to hold the floor vote on Thursday anyway. Thank you, Lee in New York. Bob, stop telling us you won't win the lottery. We want you to win. Hey, believe me, I do too. Mike in Cascadia. 1980s rich preppy culture. Great minds think alike, Bob. I've been tying my experience in college to Kavanaugh. I went to a Catholic university, the University of Portland, in the mid-1980s, although not as exclusive as Kavanaugh's D.C. prep school. The university was chock full of boys from Portland's local Catholic prep high schools, including Central Catholic and Gonzaga Prep. My experience with many of those local prep school boys at UP matches at University of Portland matches Kavanaugh. One, they drank heavily. Two, they were overwhelmingly conservative. Three, they were entitled. Four, they treated girls terribly. Five, they were bullies and they used their privileged positions as such. Says Mike, I think there's something to it. A lot of these guys were the very real-life embodiment of the evil, rich, preppy kid in all those cheesy high school movies in the 1980s. And now, one of these assholes may wind up on the Supreme Court. It's kind of chilling. It's a lot chilling. And there's a culture there. I don't want to offend anybody, but I believe in the public school system. I believe that a public school system appropriately funded can serve as a great leveler and a meritocracy in which hard work is rewarded over big money. But the public schools of Montgomery County, Maryland, which is not exactly a shitty little county, it's certainly not, say, Lincoln County, West Virginia. The public schools of Montgomery County, Maryland were not good enough for precious darling Brett and all of the other precious darlings in that privileged culture. No, they had to be. Those schools exist for a reason. There's a long tradition of education, especially inside the Jesuit movement. Sounds like University of Portland might have been a Jesuit institution, was it, Mike? And they do a good job. No getting around that. But the fact of the matter is, you can have good public education, but it might have been a little troublesome in Montgomery County, Maryland, to have good public education, or public education might have been a little too dark for the Kavanaugh family. Because from the moment that Brown versus Board of Education was decided until this very moment, religious educational institutions in this country, particularly the South, and Maryland qualifies as the South. It is, in fact, south of the Mason-Dixon line. Religious education sprung up as a way for white families to avoid having to share schools with, you know, those people. And by those people, I mean, for the most part, African-American people. Although, too, also, what is often referred to as poor white trash. And so there's a culture of ladder climbing that begins at a very early age that says if you go to one of these exclusive, high-dollar, religiously driven schools, you've got a better chance in life. Early on, you've got a better chance of going to a good university, getting into a good law school, getting into a good medical school, getting into a good graduate school, getting into a good anything, than some poor schlub who just went to the public schools and worked her ass off. And, of course, the school that Brett Kavanaugh went to was that most odious of institutions, an all-male school. Whoever came up, well, the origin of the all-male school is grounded in the idea of, well, of course it's going to be an all-male school. It's not like we send the girls to school anyway. I get an email every morning from a friend of Dr. Bill O'Brien's, a guy named Dr. Bob Bliss, who is an amazing scholar. And they're little snippets of history. And Dr. Bliss, on a number of occasions, points out women, say, from British history, English history, who rose to academic prominence even though they were forbidden from studying in the all-male school.
You know, because we certainly don't want the flower of English femininity to be corrupted by something as disgusting as education. And of course not.
And of course, since we're in the case of Kavanaugh, we're talking about a Roman Catholic institution. The misogyny is baked in. Oh, they'd have some girls' schools and stuff, but we can't be letting them go to school with the boys. I mean, you see. Right. So it all led to a toxic culture of abuse. That's not to say it doesn't happen in public schools. I know for a fact that it did. And lest I mark myself out as some sort of a hypocrite, I drank underage too. I'd say there probably aren't many boys who are now men who didn't. Because there are laws against it, it is immediately surrounded by the aura of the forbidden fruit. If mommy and daddy say you can't do it, well, must be worth doing. I trust you understand my meaning. But it was a violation of law, and had I been hauled in on it, I would have been summarily punished. But apparently, Brett Kavanaugh moved in a world in which his best buddy was Mark Judge, and Mark Judge admits to frequently getting blackout drunk. Where I guess it was just boys will be boys, which leads me to what the present defense is by the Republican Party, and that is that, well, it's just boys being boys, and, you know, boys will be boys and get all rapey. And that's a problem to be solved, not a cultural moment to be celebrated. In fact, one conservative writer, I'm not going to bother with his name. I just imagine anybody who would write this, and I think that those shiny metallic-looking flies that land on shit just must buzz around him all day long looking for a place to land. He described what Brett Kavanaugh is alleged to have done as just a case of, wait for it, you might want the hockey puck. Teenagers playing 7 minutes of heaven. Somehow I'm thinking for a 15-year-old girl, that probably was a lot more like hell. In fact, Dr. Ford has said one of the reasons that the memory lingered with her was the fact that she was afraid that they might inadvertently kill her. Not intentionally. Just that they were so damn drunk and stupid that, you know, one good jerk of her neck the wrong way and, you know, it's a murder case. Which, of course, would have been, back in the day, covered up. Fortunately, we don't have to worry about that part. Randy in PA says, Kathy Malloy points out that there is a problem with the 65 women who had not really signed the supportive letter for Kavanaugh because he went to an all-boys high school. Right. 65, so as a, even though he was going to an exclusive Georgetown, it was called Georgetown Prep or something like that, and it was all male, that somehow or another he knew 65 girls. He said, well, he never raped me, or never tried to rape me. But then again, 63 of those have bailed out on the letter. And yeah, this is in line with what Flavio was saying. Randy points out, by the way, the stolen emails from Leahy's committee may be more important, more recent, and more relevant than something 30 years old. That's true. But apparently, Republicans have made clear that they do not care about a Supreme Court nominee who traffics in stolen property. That's why I've said if he gets on the if he does get to the court, his nickname, with, as far as this program is concerned, will forever be Brett the Fence Kavanaugh, because he received stolen property. This guy has no business on the court. It's pretty easy at this point. But people like Orrin Hatch are more than happy to slime Dr. Ford, just like Orrin Hatch slimed Anita Hill. It's one of those moments that you hope there really is a hell out there, so that when Orrin gets there, he'll find out that Satan, in this case, is appearing to him as a woman, a very angry, vindictive woman. Maybe one of the Furies. Or perhaps a Dionysian Minod. Yeah? Yeah. A note coming from Lee in New York. Public school. I believe in quality public education. Apparently Texas does not. Yes, I saw that. The Texas Textbook Board of Weirdos has decided to remove Hillary Clinton and Helen Keller from the history teaching standards. Because, well, you know, if we're going to give girls in Texas role models, we can certainly do better than a liberal socialist, deaf, dumb, and blind girl from Alabama and, well, of course, you know, the devil. But they're keeping Moses. And see, there's a distinction to be made here. Moses, Helen Keller was, of course, verifiably real. We know what day she was born. We know what day she was died. What day she died. We know what she did with her life. And the same with, the same with Hillary Clinton. She's real. No one can prove the actual existence of Moses. Moses. I am thinking this Moses should have been a fool. I always loved that line from The King and I. Who is this Moses? Moses is about as real as Theseus and exists in a sort of similar mythological space. He's largely a construct who was created during the Babylonian captivity. But the Texas textbook weirdos are insisting that Moses be included in history teaching standards for the state of Texas for his influence on the American system of law and justice. Huh. Wonder how Moses would have felt about, asking about raping is probably not, with regard to an Old Testament fig, probably not the best idea, so we'll just leave that alone. Yep, I saw that, Lee. Marty wants to know, please confirm if possible, wasn't Kavanaugh or Judge or one of them the son of a law enforcement official, DA or ADA? That would have been, made bringing charges against him at the time really difficult. No, I think one of Kavanaugh's parents was an actual judge. So, yeah. That would have made things a bit uncomfortable. I hung like Jesus with a comment from a few minutes back. Bob, I was a nuclear weapons specialist in the Air Force. The background check was so deep they talked to my third grade teacher. If I would have had anything like resembling an attempted rape, not only would I have not been a specialist, I wouldn't have been in the Air Force. This is the Supreme Court, and yes, Kavanaugh does not measure up. And Geezer Disgustus has, of course, made it plain that he doesn't think anybody needs to be delving into Kavanaugh's past any further. Yeah. But he did say at a presser that, he said, I feel so badly for him. Mm-hmm. Because that's his M.O. Take the side of the abuser and, you know, sort of to hell with the victim. That's just the kind of guy. Trump welcomed the president of Poland today. Apparently, they did not discuss the island nation of... what was it when Nikki Haley got fished so badly? Not Kokomo, but, yeah. One of you will remember it, though.
John Decker of Fox, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Two questions for you, one on Judge Kavanaugh and also one on trade. On Judge Kavanaugh, yesterday you said, we want to go through a full process. You said, we want to make sure everything is perfect, everything is just right. To that end, what would be the problem with the FBI reopening their background investigation into Judge Kavanaugh? Would you support such a thing?
It wouldn't bother me other than the FBI, John, said that they really don't do that. That's not what they do. And now they have done supposedly 6 background checks over the years as Judge Kavanaugh has gone beautifully up a ladder. He's an incredible individual. Great.
That's right. For once, he's used the appropriate word. Brett Kavanaugh is incredible. He is incredible. Credible. He is not credible. But I don't think that's what Chlamydia Claudius had in mind.
Great intellect, great judge, impeccable history in every way. In every way. I feel so badly for him that he's going through this, to be honest with you. I feel so badly for him. This is not a man that deserves this. This should have been brought to the fore. It should have been brought up long ago, and that's what you have hearings for. You don't wait till the hearing is over and then all of a sudden bring it up. When Senator Feinstein sat with Judge Kavanaugh for a long period of time, a long, long meeting, she had this letter. Why didn't she bring it up? Why didn't she bring it up then? Why didn't the Democrats bring it up?
Well, dumbass, let me explain. She didn't bring it up because she was going to let him hang himself. It's called, give him enough rope. Yeah. Yeah, Marty's as shocked as I am. Wow. One, wow. A semi-decent question by someone for Radio Rwanda. And two, the FBI doesn't investigate? Well, they don't investigate when the president tells them you can't investigate.
Bring it up then, because they obstruct and because they resist. That's the name of their campaign against me. They just resist and they just obstruct. And frankly, I think...
By the way, they've got him medicated to the gills. They've finally gotten the dosage right. He's not saying an ominous. And I don't know, maybe it's a new medicine. But, you know, you'll notice he's a little slower. If you watch him lately on TV, the hand gestures aren't quite, you know, as big and broad. And maybe they're trying to rein him in. Whoever it is trying to rein him in a little bit.
They're lousy on policy, and in many ways they're lousy politicians, but they're very good on obstruction. And it's a shame, because this is a great gentleman. With all of that, I feel that the Republicans, and I can speak for myself, we should go through a process, because there shouldn't even be a little doubt. There shouldn't be a doubt. Again, they knew what they were doing. They should have done this a long time ago, 3 months ago. Not now.
Why? Why should they have done this 3 months ago? Can we answer that question? Because 3 months ago, he would have been saying the same thing. I feel so bad for him. And completely, just like he dismissed all the victims of Roy Tola Moore. There was no sympathy whatsoever for the accusers. You know, the people who got harmed. 3 months ago, Orrin Hatch would have still been a sleaze bag. 3 months ago, Chuck Grassley would have been a sleaze bag. 3 months ago, Donald Trump would have still been a sleaze bag. 3 months ago, some right-wing, white-wing conservative columnist would have still written a column saying that a 15-year-old girl getting groped dealing with a rape attempt and being afraid for her life, afraid her neck would be snapped, constituted 7 minutes in heaven. Okay? 3 months ago, it made no difference. But the fact of the matter is, they had this stuff, and they waited to see how Kavanaugh would present himself. And sure enough, he presented himself as this lily-white, Simon-pure, Solon wannabe, for whom butter would not melt in his mouth. And then the Democrats pulled out all the stops. The receipt and trafficking in stolen property, the multiple lies, and now the attempted rape 30-plus years ago. And for anybody who says that the memory of a rape victim from 30 years ago is somehow suspect, that only tells us how little is understood about the nature of rape. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. It was the island nation of Bonomo. That's what Nikki Haley and the fake president of Poland. Remember the morning zoo crew from Moscow that called her? Yeah. I guess nobody asked about Bonomo. Are you the real president of Poland? Because the last time we had somebody saying they were the president of Poland, they were the morning zoo crew from Moscow 95.9. No, that didn't happen. But memories of rape can be and often are, among the most concrete memories a human being has. Especially if it was a child or during adolescence. Because it represents a break in a timeline. It represents a clear before and after moment in a life. The before being, well, things were going fairly well, and the after being, then everything, you know, it became a struggle. And that's the sort of things that's the sort of thing that Dr. Ford has described.
But they did it now, so I don't want to play into their hands. Hopefully, the woman will come forward, state her case. He will state his case before representatives of the United States Senate.
See, representatives of the United States Senate. I told you, he doesn't know the difference between a member of the House and a member of the Senate.
And then they will vote. They will look at his career. They will look at what she had to say from 36 years ago. And we will see what happens. But
yeah, from 36 years ago. You know, unlike say, Stormy Daniels or the other woman whose name I can never seem to remember, who have very clear memories from 12 years ago, which is just a third of 36. But they can't be believed either because, you know, women. But they got paid. And Donald Trump directed Michael Cohen to make the payment. And those payments were felonies. And the President of the United States is implicated in two and probably four actual federal felonies. And we're still actually having a conversation about a nominee of his to the highest court in the United States, which he has no business making. 36 years ago. 36 years ago. What happened 36 years ago with you, Donnie? Lots. Lots. 36 years ago, he was just 36 years old. He'd barely just blown through. Had he blown through his first million yet at 36? I don't think so. Karen McDougal. Okay, thank you, Lee. Thank you. The woman. She has no name. Kavanaugh has a name. With Donald Trump, Dr. Ford has no name. And see, he's in a pickle because the smart thing at this point in time would be to withdraw the nomination and begin again. But if he does that, he may very well lose the evangelicals. Because the evangelicals know what they want, and they want somebody on that court that will speak up for the precious fetuses. And a guy who thinks so little of a woman to try as a girl to try to rape her, he probably doesn't much respect her right to decide whether or not to keep the baby now, don't you reckon? Stephen, New York, Georgetown Prep, etc. I have to push back a tad on the all-male school thing. I had two friends who went to Georgetown Prep. When I experienced them in college, they were among the kindest, gentlest, most respectful people I knew. Now, that may have been because they were immigrants and were not part of the in crowd who went to Georgetown Prep. My friend's two parents were both doctors. Either way, they were wonderful folks. In addition, I have two other friends, both gay, oddly. One, a former Carthusian monk, diocesan priest, Zen Sensei. One, a child psychologist in New York City. They went to a school called Regis. It was a very selective Catholic all-boys high school. However, and here may be the greatest equalizer, Young men who went there went tuition free. May have been entirely free, but I don't know. These are two of the most wonderful people I know. I know. Here I am pushing back here again. I really don't mean to, because I don't even count myself Christian anymore. Oddly, I think of myself Catholic more so than Christian. And I'm not a believer in a personal God anymore. I just feel the need to say that there is at least some good coming out of an all-boys school. Sure. Sure. And I'm not being a dick when I say that, you know, that 65 women signed a letter saying that Brett Kavanaugh never tried to rape them. But there is a history of those all male schools creating toxic environments, whether it be in England or the United States, and God only knows where else. Jesuit missionaries used to brag that until they got to Polynesia, Polynesian people did not have a word for homosexuality. They had to start all boys schools and teach them what it was. To the Polynesians, it was just love. It was just sexuality. But they, you know, as the song from South Pacific goes, you have to be carefully taught. Meanwhile, Steve, another member, Steve from Georgistan, another member of the Fraternity of Steves, Maryland and the Civil War. Not to put too fine a point on it, although you are correct, the Mason-Dixon line borders the state, actually. 85,000 or two-thirds of the citizens signed up for the military, with most joining the Union Army. Approximately one-third as many enlisted to go south and fight for the Confederacy. I went to school in Maryland, and they made it a point to drill that point home. True, but because they were a neutral state, Maryland got to keep their slaves, just like Kentucky and Missouri. States that did not join the Confederacy and stayed neutral during the Civil War. But, yeah, Maryland is decidedly a southern state. Obligatory Star Trek reference. Lee points out, Vulcan is real. I'm not sure about Moses. Interesting article. I need to read this later. Hey, Spock, real-life planet Vulcan orbits sun featured in Star Trek. Steve in New York continues, I've held my views here on this regarding Roe v. Wade. Here's what I think will happen regarding Roe. First of all, contrary to what many people seem to be saying, Roe is not the law of the land. While, as you know, Bob, strict scrutiny is the framework, the framework the Supreme Court applies to questions or legislation impacting fundamental rights. However, the court does not evaluate abortion rights that way. Planned Parenthood versus Casey is controlling law here. Casey articulates the undue burden standard to evaluate a law that burdens a woman's right to determine what she wants to do insofar as it concerns a pregnancy. For this reason, the court asks the question, does the law serve as an undue burden from a woman exercising her right? So here's what I think will happen. Roe ain't going anywhere. It's too much of a boogeyman. It's also a money raiser. They'll maintain Roe, but will so narrowly define what an undue burden is to render the woman's right meaningless. That way, no right to choose for women, but when they will be able to keep Roe to raise money and use it to get out the vote. John Roberts, the world's smartest Republican, will probably write the decision that narrows Casey. I would not be surprised. And of course, that works for Republicans, because if you're a Republican and it's done on a state-by-state, and abortion is managed on a largely state-by-state basis, a nice, well-to-do white Republican girl can always, take a little trip to New York or California, maybe Martha's Vineyard, from Mississippi or Alabama, Georgia or Tennessee, and get things taken care of. It's the poor people in those states who, of course, suffer. It's the poor people who don't actually have the rights that are enumerated under Griswold, Roe, and Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And that's always the way it is. And rights in this country are largely driven by the financial ability to assert them. John, haven't heard from John in a while. There are reports that Kavanaugh's mother, the judge, foreclosed on Ford's parents' house. I've seen that. If that's the if that is the motive for a 51-year-old woman or thereabouts, I'm not sure how old she is. If that's the motive for her coming forward, then that runs against everything I ever understood about human nature, because to subject yourself to what is already beginning to happen to Dr. Ford and what God knows happened to Anita Hill, to get back at a foreclosure, it doesn't wash. It doesn't hold water. Oh, by the way, I was happy to hear from our buddy Todd checking in. I agree with Ron and Flavio. In addition, it's not the point whether he engaged in this behavior or not. We will never know. What we do know is that he's already proven himself to be untrustworthy under scrutiny. Also, he appears to be offended by being under scrutiny as if he's above it. Back to the frat boy white privilege dynamic. Trump's ready to dump him. Listen to the cadence of his speech. This candidate is duplicitous at best. We should move on. Let's light up the phones of our senators and members of the House of Representatives. Of course, the senators are controlling here. If you're in West Virginia, if you are in Indiana, if you are in Missouri or North Dakota, you've got your work cut out for you because you're dealing with Joe Donnelly, Claire McCaskill, Joe Manchin, and Heidi Heitkamp, who are almost genetically driven to vote with Republicans. And while we would like to say that we think that women will stand together on an issue of sliming someone over an allegation of sexual misconduct, I think we're probably mistaken in that belief, because we're talking about Republican women. I'll cite to you the statistic out of Alabama, for instance. 65% of Republican women in Alabama, having been told repeatedly what Roy Tola Moore did, went to the polls and said, "And I'm voting for him. Praise Jesus." It was white women who, in a big way, helped screw up the election of 2016. Just, you know, saying. Earther, Cavernous is the best. Not. Cavernous has the corporate zeal of Roberts and Gordsuck, minus the oh shucksiness of Cordstuck, minus the genteel smiley supreme treason of Roberts, plus 10,000 units of most holy conceit granted in monopoly and perpetuity by God Almighty himself. I think you may be on to something there, Earther. Lee in New York says, don't expect knowledge of Congress from POTUS. If you quiz the orangutan on Congress, he would probably say, they only have two houses, I have many houses, so many houses, big houses, really big, beautiful houses. Failing Congress needs more houses. I should probably buy their houses and replace them with tremendous buildings that have my name on the front. Ah, well played. Well played. Dustin says, hold on just a cotton picking minute, Bob. I remember back in the mid to late 80s, they required children being subjected to the movie If These Walls Could Talk. Did some people just miss that learning opportunity? I know religion, but come on. Well, It is what it is. And I admit, you know, my impressions of private school assholes were formed. I mean, just as Steve knew people who were good and kind and decent, I mostly met assholes. I think about just as a for instance. One school group that we were traveling with when my little public school group, you know, went to Rome on spring break. The group was from a Catholic school in northern West Virginia. It was completely a happenstance, but called Weirton Madonna. And these were the most hellish little assholes. And I grew up with some serious assholes. There are those who might say that I was one. But these were the most assholish assholes I'd ever met in my life. I think they were drunk when they got off the plane and drunk when they got back on it. And their entire purpose seemed to be to consume as much alcohol as possible and wreak as much chaos as possible. For instance, inside the Basilica of St. Peter's, there's a statue of Jesus, and, you know, he's holding his two fingers up. One of them climbed up on Jesus and put a cigarette between his fingers. Another one told his priest chaperone to go fuck himself. These were not nice kids, but they were well-to-do kids. And they were kids whose parents were oh so worried about them going to one of those nasty secular public schools where they wouldn't learn about the saving grace of Christ Jesus every day. Well, and Alexander, Alexander points out, if Kavanaugh is not confirmed, in retaliation, the Republicans will find someone even worse. And I think that's a real risk, but here's the thing. The Supreme Court needs to be a member short when the first Monday in October rolls around, and that's 12 days hence. And it needs to remain a member short through the midterms and into January, when hopefully we will be seating a brand new shiny Democratic Congress. Yeah, Arnold pointing out, to an assault victim, 30 years could be a day. PTSD is real. And confirming Kavanaugh at this point will be a matter of, as Arnold points out, forever lowering the bar in regard to Supreme Court confirmations. Let's leave the burbs of D.C., however, and wander on down to Texas. Ken Paxton is the Attorney General of Texas, and he's a real dirtbag. Never mind. And he had a former pastor working for him as his spokesman. Mark Rylander tweeted statements that mocked Dr. Ford. He did it during work hours from his official work phone. They were tweets that came from a New York radio personality named Mark Simone, who tweeted, "Breaking, Democrats have a witness who says Kavanaugh cheated at pin the tail on the donkey in kindergarten class. Judge Kavanaugh now being accused of kicking his mother several times while in the womb." Well, Mark Rylander got caught. And then he immediately tried to delete his retweets once he was caught. Why do these people have to be so godforsaken nasty? Oh, wait, they're maggots. We have a nasty problem in this country, to the tune of somewhere around 30 to 35% of the people here. I mentioned to you that Mark Judge has said he does not wish to testify before the Senate, and with good reason. He's written a lot of sleazy stuff for right-wing websites over the years. But in particular, he wrote a now out-of-print book called Wasted, Tales of a Gen X Drunk, in which he talks about, and this is a quote, uncontrollable male passion. In that book, he says, "Of course, a man must be able to read a woman's signals, and it's a good thing that feminism is teaching young men that no means no and yes means yes, but there's also that ambiguous middle ground where the woman seems interested and indicates, whether verbally or not, that the man needs to prove himself to her. And if that man is any kind of man, he'll allow himself to feel the awesome power, the wonderful beauty of uncontrollable male passion." The work has at least begun. The yearbook from Georgetown Prep, when Judge was there, when he and Kavanaugh were both there, the following quote appears: "Certain women should be struck regularly, like gongs." It's a quote from Noel Coward. He doesn't want to testify before the Senate, no. That's what subpoenas are for. But remember, Chuck Grassley, who has been covering up for Republican perfidy since I was just a little itty-bitty baby journalist. I remember Chuck during the Iran-Contra hearings when I thought he was going to actually break into tears and weep for poor, poor Ollie North. Yeah. Chuck Grassley will determine who gets heard and who does not get heard. And you may rest assured that the not get heard. Well, it's not even for certain that Dr. Ford will even testify now. So, we've got all that going. That's pretty much the... that's the start of things for this evening. We have more. Oh, yes. We have lots more. But we should probably take a break. And if... if you want to get involved, if you've got something to say, reach out. Multiple ways of getting into the program. Toll free, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. 304-640-2829 gets you into the stress line. 304-574-8178 gets you the other line. And then, of course, from anywhere on the planet, Skype to Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn. And, well, then you can always stand outside and yell, but, well, doggone it, we probably won't hear that. So, if what you want to say is not entirely conducive to just emailing it, well, we can talk about it too. It's Tuesday, of course, the 18th of September, and that means, of course, that we have the Green News Report with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen. So we'll go to that right quick and wander around in some other stuff afterward, because there's other stuff. We are still at $290 to finish fundraising for the evening and get $90 to get completely caught up with this, well, up to today, $290 to finish tonight. And hopefully we will. I'm sure Keith would like to have some company, having gotten us started. Thank you, Keith. Because, well, that's how we keep this on the air. For pennies. A pittance. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
It's Tuesday, September 18, 2018.
This is a monumental disaster for our state.
Florence continues to wreak havoc and death on the East Coast.
Meteorologists in southern China warned that Typhoon Mangkhut would be the king of all storms. That was an understatement.
As the strongest storm of the year slams into the Philippines and Hong Kong. Plus,
the CEO of Columbia Gas's parent company apologized for the event.
Boston residents slowly returning after gas explosions destroyed dozens of homes.
All of that and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Look at this. These rain totals are unbelievable. And the crazy thing is that this was pretty much forecasted.
Huh. That is crazy. Science. It works. Go figure. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, yes, as science predicted, Florence has been a disaster and a deadly one at that.
Yes, we are continuing to track the impacts of Hurricane Florence, now a tropical depression, extremely slow moving. It is the rainiest hurricane on record ever to hit the East Coast, and its remnants are spawning tornadoes as it moves north. It's already killed one person in a building collapse in Virginia. As we go to air, more than 32 people are confirmed dead from the storm, and hundreds are still trapped by flooding awaiting rescue. 750,000 are without electricity. North and South Carolina both set all-time state rainfall records. The winds have died down, but the catastrophic flooding risk remains, according to North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper in a Monday press conference.
The danger is still immediate. Flood waters are rising as rivers crest, and they will for days.
Transportation officials say most major roadways in North Carolina are impassable. Many rivers and creeks have shattered their records with historic flood levels, and forecasters say many will remain above flood stage for 5 days or more.
I know the sun is out in a lot of places, so people want to get out of the house, and I would just warn, be careful, because there's still a lot of water, a lot of rain to come over the next several days from this storm.
While a comprehensive damage assessment will take time, the North Carolina Pork Council on Monday announced that floodwaters have indeed inundated several hog manure lagoons in the state, with at least one breach caused by heavy rainfall. At least two coal ash waste impoundments owned by Duke Energy have also been inundated or breached, including one at a retired coal plant near Wilmington. It's not yet known if the toxic sludge, which contains mercury, arsenic, and other toxins, toxins entered a nearby river. According to a court settlement in the wake of a previous coal ash spill, Duke Energy has until 2029 to close hundreds of its toxic coal ash waste sites in North Carolina.
Well, why rush? They keep spilling, they keep poisoning the water, but no hurry, I guess.
Access to Duke Energy's Brunswick nuclear power plant is cut off by floodwaters, but the good news is plant officials say grid power and backup generators are still working. In Japan, failures of those key components caused the Fukushima nuclear meltdown back in 2011.
And the plants that we're talking about at Brunswick are the very same model as those ones that failed in Fukushima.
Climate scientists say Florence's extreme rainfall was worsened by climate change. It stalled because of a high-pressure blocking pattern, which emerging research indicates is another consequence of global warming. Warming in the Arctic, in turn, appears to be altering the jet stream that pushes weather systems across the northern hemisphere. Meanwhile, in the Pacific, Super Typhoon Mangkhut, the strongest storm to hit the planet so far this year, slammed into the Philippines, killing more than 60 people, many of them in landslides, and then it moved on to hammer Hong Kong, knocking construction cranes off of buildings and causing billions in damage. Chinese officials have ordered millions of people to evacuate in southern China as Mangkhut moves north, wreaking havoc across that region. Finally, in Boston, residents are slowly being allowed to return to the homes they evacuated after multiple explosions damaged or destroyed dozens of homes in three communities, killing one person and injuring at least 20 on Thursday. In a Monday press conference, Robert Sumwalt of the National Transportation and Safety Board confirmed that overpressurization of a gas main under repair appears to have sent a surge of gas into those homes. Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker excoriated the slow response of the gas utility company Columbia Energy, which owns the pipeline system, and instead he put rival gas company Eversource Energy in charge of the disaster response and repairs. The deadly incident underscores the inherent risks of using explosive fossil fuels like natural gas and the dangers of deferred maintenance on our nation's aging infrastructure.
For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find us, follow us, and share us worldwide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Twenty-two minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. And let's see. Just a quick follow-up. The question about the association between Kavanaugh's mama, great job, Mom, and the parents of Dr. Ford. Well, apparently, what it boils down to is she dismissed a foreclosure action against Dr. Ford's parents. In 1996, she granted a motion dismissing a foreclosure action against Ralph and Paula Blasey, I'm not sure which, a North Carolina bank brought the foreclosure action and 5 months later moved to dismiss the case. The trustee in the foreclosure, Harry Kelly, answered the phone when Fox News TV Radio Rwanda called. He said, that was 22 years ago. I don't remember anything about the case. And then he hung up on him, which tells you what he thought of a little bit about what he thought of Fox News TV Radio Rwanda. Hung Like Jesus says, it's funny, Bob. I grew up in D.C. and I can't ever remember seeing anyone that looked like Kavanaugh. Wonder why. I don't think you're wondering as much as you would have us think you're wondering, unlike Jesus. No. But, hog shit lagoons, at least one has breached, as you heard from Brad and Desi. the coal ash, toxic waste sites have been impacted. But you know what we're going to get as soon as the waters recede a little bit more? I mean, well, as soon as they recede, they're not receding now. There's still rivers that are going to crest like Thursday. We will have a big announcement from Duke Energy saying, see how safe coal ash impoundments are? Why? We only lost one. And the North Carolina Pork Producers Council will say, our hog feces lagoons are so stable that they withstood the rainiest hurricane in history, and we only had one problem. You watch. You watch. I betcha. I do. I'm glad to hear from Todd. Hey, Todd. You're safe.
Okay. Yeah. We're right on the edge, and you know, but we're not out of the woods yet because, as you were talking about the water, you know, I mean, the Carolinas, most of that water has to come through South Carolina and go to the floodplain. You know, some of it goes out to sea, but anyway, it's unbelievable. You know, a lot of these rivers are not going to crest until Saturday.
Oh, really? Tuesday. As far out as Saturday?
Yes.
I heard Thursday. I heard Thursday earlier, but my God.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of water fell in Florence, a lot, and then you know, with the new burn area, but that water's going out to sea, but it's going to be ugly, like down, like. In other words, I was listening on our public radio. They preempted the national shows so that we could get our emergency update. And they're telling people, like, look, it might be nice now, but you got to get out of certain Horry County, around Myrtle Beach. They're not even ready for this yet.
And I-95 got covered up in places.
I don't ever listen. And that's up, you know, I hope Ron and Clarence everybody, I don't even know what's going to happen down in Edisto. Edisto's all icy on a good day, you know what I mean? So who knows what's going to happen down there. But it's frightening, you know, like I was telling you about New Bern. I mean, I've been there numerous times, and I was like, this is not going to be, when you go out there, you got to go out there from Kinston, this place called Kinston, and you get on this road, you drive like, I don't know, I remember the first time it scared me. It looked like I was going to Children of the Corn or something, because all you see is green, lush fields and no stores, no nothing, no houses, just land, green, fertile land. And it's like, well, I must be going the wrong way because there's nothing here, you know, and I'm not trying to get off on a tangent like I usually do, but it's just surrounded by, I don't know what's going to become of those folks, man. I mean, that this stuff is coming down. And remember, it's still going to come down from your way. See, it's coming up. It's going right. Can you imagine? It's going up through the Appalachians, up to New England, they say.
Yeah, that's the last I saw. I mean, it looked like we were going to get rained on pretty good, but we only got a couple of inches. I saw one local river here today, and it's up and muddy, but it's not out of its banks.
Well, our river, it's already taken over the trees on the edges. But it does that a lot anyway. But we're just getting started because this river comes down from a dammed lake. You know, not like I'll be damned, a damned lake, which in turn feeds from up near Charlotte in that area. So, you know, so there's a whole lot of bridges that are going to be, compromised. But like you said, back to 95. Now, you know, I've been driving 95 my whole life. I don't ever remember 10 miles of 95 being closed down. But twice in 2 years. And this is what the governor of North Carolina said this afternoon. He said, you know, this is the second year we've had a once in a 500 year flood. So apparently it's not once every 500 years. You know, you could almost see.
Not anymore. It's not. No.
Not, you know, this is scary stuff, man. I mean, if we had torrential, like I'm still picking up, I'm worn out. I was out all night sweeping the street and, you know, every time a branch would fall, you know, get it out of the street, try to pick it up, whatever. But the rain, the amount of water that has been coming down, I think it looks like it might rain one more time. I don't know, it's kind of cloudy, but I think we're done now.
Well, I need to offer up a correction, Todd. I was wrong.
What happened?
I'm looking at a report from Vice News from today.
Mm-hmm.
According to the Department of Environmental Quality of the state of North Carolina, as of noon today, four toxic hog lagoons had been breached, 13 had overflowed, 9 had been inundated, and another 55 were at or almost at capacity and in danger of overflowing.
Mm.
Sakobi Wilson, a professor of public health at the University of Maryland, said, you basically have a toxic soup for people who live in close proximity to those lagoons. All of these contaminants that are in the hog lagoons, like Salmonella, Giardia, and E. coli, can get into the waterways and infect people trying to get out. Then there's the nitrogen, then there's the phosphorus, which lead to algae blooms, dead zones in rivers.
Okay, so we all have seen these pictures of when you have a flooded neighborhood. So that means that type of contaminated water, it's not, I mean, it's always contaminated because it's coming off of the street. But so in addition, we're going to have all that biomass of contaminants.
Yeah, right? it's a bio horror.
So, man, this. Oh, and I'm glad you brought that up because they had the folks on their line, like when they preempted on people on NPR today, on our local NPR, people brought up the hog lagoons and the coal ash pits, and I had no idea we had coal ash pits in Conway, all in the marshland near Conway and Charleston. They have coal ash pits that are about to breach. But the hog farm, and he was lying about, because now I've been listening to you, you know, because you're very educated on the coal ash and the lagoons for the rendering of these hogs. He totally, I forget the spokesman's name, but he was totally lying. This is a catastrophe, because that water's going to sit. It's still raining. Everything's coming downstream. So, all I can say... We were supposed to go down to go to Myrtle Beach this weekend. That's not going to happen. I still have people asking me, well, are we still going? I'm like, I don't think so. What the fuck are you talking about? You know, you better be happy you got a place to live. You don't know, like you want to go to the beach. Can you imagine? I'm not making this shit up. People bugging me about going to the damn beach.
Wait, what? You can't.
That's what
you
the fuck
you. No, you can't even get there, can you?
This has nothing to do with what we're talking about, but people get shit in their head. They want to go to the fucking beach. So, you know, I'm like, well, you know what? You go. I'll be here when you get back. Whatever. I can't believe that, man. It's like you're totally not paying attention to what's going on. Like, do you understand that the road? Look, we wouldn't get past Santee, okay? That's Lake Marion in Santee, okay? 95, oh, my God, I-95 there. Oh, it's only about 15 feet above that lake. I'm really not keeping you tonight, and I'm not trying to get up and change it. But I didn't.
No. Don't get in a hurry. I mean, like I said, I was glad to hear from you. I've had people writing saying, you know, have you heard from Todd? Is Todd okay?
Well, that's good to hear, because I'm telling you, man, it's rough. This is no joke. This is nothing to play with. And you know, we have there's a lot of old trees. The trees, even in the neighborhood, you know, I mean, all you hear is chainsaw, you know, everywhere.
Do you have your utilities? I mean, do you have water? Do you have power?
Our power only went out for about half a day, and I started cooking off food then from the freezer, and then you know everything worked out. So I'm just glad we were able to get water, but it's a wake up call because this is the new normal. I feel like this is the new normal in our lifetime at least. But I appreciate the concern
you just put a great big issue on the table, and it needs to not be walked away from so fast. You know, the concept of a so-called 500-year flood, it is not derived from the fact that there are ancient legends that come down from the natives who were here 500 years ago, who said, "Ah, yes, we have not seen a flood like this since in the time of the grandfathers." It's all statistical modeling, and it's for purposes of loss prevention and insurance, and the old model is dead, Todd. It's dead.
It's dead.
500-year floods might now be 10-year floods. And so, you know, here's a human nature, human culture kind of question. If what you're going through and what people have been through far worse who are, you know, not where you are, if that happens once in a lifetime, you can kind of bounce back from it, right? Or try to if you survive, right? I mean, and I know that bounce back is a it's a simplistic term.
But
if it happens, say this year, and another one cooks up in 2 years and does it again, and 5 years after that another one spins up in the South Atlantic, in the equatorial Atlantic, and comes up and does it again, what does that do to the human ability to live in a place?
Well, we've got to recalibrate. I mean, this is what...
I mean, but I mean, people come down there to your neck of the woods, and I know because they come there from here to get down and enjoy some warm weather and, you know, play some golf or go to Myrtle or whatever. And, you know, that's what we think about. You know, it's a vacation destination. A lot of people who get tired of, you know, who get old and start worrying about breaking a hip and things like that, they just flat out fucking move. They leave the hills and go to South Carolina, where they're going to be warm for the rest of their days.
There's trailer parks right on the beach. You know, these folks on fixed incomes, you see them. And they're like, they think they're rich, you know, they're living near the seashore. And
well, because I take such a long view, one of the earliest examples of city building in human experience is what we know as the Harappan culture. And one city in particular comes to mind, Mohenjo-Daro. And it's in the Indus River Valley.
Okay.
And we know very little about the Harappan people. But we know that at one point in time, they just said, okay, fuck it, we got to leave. And they abandoned their city. And some have theorized it was because of changes in the course of the Indus River and changes in the flood patterns. It's one thing, it's one thing to have to deal with a flood every 25 or 50 years. It's another thing to have your very first city ever on planet Earth get flooded time and time and time again. And remember, you're back in a time when they don't know why it rains. It probably has something to do with a god. And, you know, when you get flooded out five times in 5 years, you go, well, I don't think that God wants us to be here.
Right.
And so you break camp.
Yeah, Gaia. Right. Well, so all right, there's two ways to look at this. If you believe in Gaia or Goya, you know, the Earth is one big organism, and it's just trying to cleanse itself of the pox on the Earth known as human. Because we keep fucking shit up. And it only makes sense.
And so you know, I'm asking the question that the Harappans answered in their own way thousands of years ago. I'm asking for you know, people living it, because this is just the front end, Todd. It's not going to get okay. This isn't a freak occurrence. This isn't a one off. You know, in a couple of hundred, you know, in a time frame that you and I will not, and even my grandchildren will probably not be here for, although there's a possibility, Capitol Hill in Washington, D.C. is going to be beachfront property.
It's coming.
And so, you know, is it realistic to think that a place that's going to face something like this every 2, 3, 4, 5 years is actually a place for human beings to live on a long-term basis?
I'd say no, and we also have to look at, and I'm not trying to change the subject, I don't think I am, but we can see it already. If you know anyone in Miami, the high tide, the surf comes up through the storm drains already.
Yeah.
So this is what I envision, because, I mean, I understand this is a capitalist country. What's going to happen? People are just going to have to move away from the coast, and when you want to go to the beach, there's going to have to be like trams or something that will take you out to the, which these huge hotels and condos on the beach, they're not going anywhere because that's reinforced concrete, but the lower floors will be covered by sand, so they just won't be as tall, and there'll be like a causeway or something, and they'll take, people have to just live more inland, and they'll just have to take a tram out to the ocean side. You know, in other words, we got to give the wetlands back to where they belong. They're there for a reason. It's a buffer zone. You know, you can't keep building on the dunes in a buffer zone and expect good things. You know, I don't see how that's going to happen. That, you know,
well, Steve just another member of the fraternity of Steve just sent me a piece of drone footage shot by the state of North Carolina of Interstate 40 near mile marker 387. It's a canal. You cannot see. And this is Pender County, North Carolina. There's no road.
There's no road.
It's just a placid little river.
That's outside of Wilmington, maybe. You know, Wilmington's cut off. They're saying they have, it's like a third world country. They have to use ships to bring, they have to airlift food and water into Wilmington. I have friends in Wilmington right now. You know, they have nothing. They said the wind took the roof off of their house. They have all their, everything's ruined. But they're staying in the house because they can't get out. Now, I don't know how she's getting power. I don't know, maybe a neighbor has a generator or something. Do you understand? Wilmington is cut off.
Yeah, Wilmington is an island. Wilmington is an island. I mean, is that a fair assessment?
That's what it is. It's third world now. When you have to, it's a good thing it's a port, a deep water port, because the ships are going to have to bring supplies in.
Well, Ron and Raleigh just pointed out. Remember, the legislature in North Carolina do not allow the newest climate information to be used to prepare for these weather incidents. As long as the Republicans are in charge, the state will be ill-prepared for these bigger storms.
But that's why I was so surprised the way the governor of North Carolina made that statement, Ron, is that I felt like he was really debasing these climate change folks who don't believe in climate change.
He was, because he's a Democrat.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was assuming he was. I don't know. I'm not North Carolina. Okay. Well. Oh, that's right. That was a tough rate. Okay. Yeah, like I said, I'm not in North Carolina. But I guess
the larger question I'm asking, Todd, and I'm asking you because you're there.
Right.
At what point in time does it become an exercise in futility to engage in conversations about dealing with? At what point in time do you say human beings can't live here anymore?
Look,
does the water have to come and stay, and the entirety of the area be submerged forevermore? I mean,
it's time to make plans to get away now. Two times in 2 years, 500-year flood. I mean, like you said, remember, actuaries, they're all about the money. Insurance company actuaries.
Right.
They are very good with the numbers. So, like you're saying, it's not some Indian folklore. It's just like they have measurements. You know, they keep gauges around. They know what's going on because it's property. It's real estate. So, and that's how much you have to pay out. So, look, they're on top of this. So, we have to... We got to move away. Move away. We cannot sustain to keep rebuilding on a dream. You understand what I'm saying? On a dream. Like, it's just. And you know what? You'll still be beachfront because the water's coming in. So you're just waiting for the water to come to you.
But the bigger picture is that you're also talking about the loss of a significant amount of cropland. Are you not? Is there not a lot of stuff grown down there?
I was very disappointed when I saw, I'm telling you, I love Margaret Holmes. There is some fertile ground in Anor. I forget the name of the county, but this place called Anor on the way to Myrtle Beach. It is fertile. I mean, that's where a lot of good vegetables come from. Everyone eats these vegetables. It's just a great place. All flooded. So canned vegetable prices may go up because this is harvest season, isn't it?
You should be about getting there.
Yeah, well, now that's ruined. I mean, that's, you know, and God knows.
And see, there's two different elements at work here. On the one hand, you've got the storm surge, which is salt water. Salt water is not good for, Brondo. It's got electrolytes. It's what plants crave. The reason the plants weren't growing in the Brondo is because Brondo's got salt in it, to make the obvious Idiocracy reference. Salt water is not good for, not good at all for fertile ground. But then there's the stuff from the rain, which is fresh water. But what happens when things get inundated by hog shit?
That's what I was intimating. That's what I'm saying.
So and I don't know. I don't know about you, but I don't want to grow. I don't want to eat a potato, or a Brussels sprout, or a tomato, or anything else that's grown in soil that's been toxified by concentrated mercury and arsenic from a coal ash spill. Because the plants take that up, and it winds up in the food.
Yeah, and then you wind up in the bathroom or in the hospital or in the ground. So you're painting a terrible picture, Bob. I don't like your artistry.
Sorry. But the thing is, there's a difference. For instance, Hung Like Jesus just said, I asked a lady who'd been through several tornadoes out on the plains, why do they stay? She told me with a bit of confusion, it's home. Well, there's a difference between tornadoes and sea level rise and coastal change. Tornadoes really have been zipping around the flat middle of America for a very long time. It just depends on how populated the area it forms up in is. But storms like this are a result of geoprocesses that are going to get worse and not better. And this all goes back to the question I've been asking for years now that no one seems, at least of all me, able to answer. And that is, what does a mass migration look like on the North American continent? because short of the enforced removal of native peoples under Andrew Jackson, and that was a horror in its own right, we really had, you know, okay, so maybe the Dust Bowl might prove instructive?
That could cripple this country, Bob.
Yeah, and I, you know, South Carolina being South Carolina, and North Carolina being North Carolina, and Florida being Florida, and Georgia being Georgia, I would warrant that none of those Republican states are willing to allow the consideration of actual climate change because they've been, because it's a Republican talking point that there's no such thing.
Yep.
It's hopeful because I don't know if you've probably been too busy to really see much in the way of news, but Rick Skeletor Scott, who's running for Bill Nelson's Senate seat in Florida and is the current governor of Florida, he went to a campaign event and got run out of the restaurant and had to sneak out the back. Because in Florida, the last couple of days, because people pissed off about the red tide and about his negligence regarding the environmental viability of Florida generally, about had enough. And so they ran him out.
Isn't he a convicted felon anyway?
Well, no, his company is. The single largest case of Medicare fraud in the history of Medicare fraud. That's Rick Scott's people. Meanwhile, David, who is also in South Carolina, subject line, dead chickens too. About 1.7 million chickens have been killed in flooding from Florence as rising North Carolina rivers swamped at least 60 farm buildings where the animals were being raised for market, according to a major poultry producer. Sanderson Farms said today, the losses incurred at independent farms that supply its poultry processing plants. The company said its facilities suffered no major damage, but supply disruptions and flooded roadways had caused shutdowns at some plants. In addition, about 30 farms near Lumberton have been isolated by floodwaters, hampering the delivery of feed to animals.
Dave, he's not that far from me, but see, I'm right over the edge of what may happen, but I think he's in danger. He's in possible danger where he is. I'm not saying where. I know where he is, you know, that's where it starts getting flat. But, yeah, I hear what you're saying. So this is – we haven't even – what I'm trying to say is that it's not just the water, and this is what you're trying to say. This is like a layer. This is what it is, layers of catastrophe on this. And you know, when you start messing with the soil, do you know how long it's going to take to get the chemistry of the soil back properly?
Sure. And see, I mean, there are cultures that have learned to deal with flood cycles. The genius of the ancient Egyptians and, you know, ancient astronauts had not a goddamn thing to do with it. They were smart people. they developed something called the Nilometer. Way, 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 way up the Nile, with which they could predict the extent of the annual flooding of the Nile. Because the silt deposited by the Nile was what it made possible for Egypt to be a breadbasket to that part of the world. So they learned to deal with it.
Get me up, man.
And they learned to cherish it and everything. But
you know why you're cracking me up?
Why is that?
Because you're talking about science. You're talking about people like 3,000 years ago. And we're
using science, I know.
<It is people. laughs>
Well, now bear in mind, the ancient Egyptians also did a whole lot of praying to gods that looked like hippopotami and hawks and buzzards and snakes and dogs and shit like that. But at the end of it all, it was engineering and science.
But that
only worked because it was predictable, Todd. It was an annual event. you cannot, you can't do that with a giant storm that's going to come along every year, 2-3 years, 7 years, definitely not every 500 years, and just wreck everything. Because sooner or later, because this is a capitalist economy, the economy's not going to be able to absorb it and sustain it anymore. Because the insurance company, because the minute that the insurance companies just say, screw it, we're not writing for any of this anymore, because there's no, you know, insurance is gambling.
Right.
Okay.
That's why I brought up twice in 500 years. If you had a casino and you had a high roller that came in every couple of days and he was beating 500-1 odds, what would you do? You'd be like, I'm sorry, sir, you're not welcome here anymore.
Right. And, you know, if it happened once every 500 years, you'd go, eh. But if it starts happening every other year, you're going to see that guy coming and go, uh-uh, don't even come through the door. And so, you know, I mean, really, the history of insurance begins in a little coffee house in London called Lloyd's. And businessmen would sit.
You're not going to talk about slave ships and slaves, are you?
Well, I don't have to, but I mean, they would just generally gamble on which ships would make it home to merry old England, and which ships wouldn't. And it eventually evolves into this idea of insurance. And it's just gambling. And so when there's, and you know, the key to gambling is that the house always wins. Well, the house can't always win if they're constantly paying out claims year in and year out. You know, the most major insurance company executives are probably Republicans, Todd.
Well, sure.
But the fact that they're Republicans doesn't change the fact that because of the nature of the business that they're in, they have to take science seriously.
Yo, man, this could crush our economy on top of this weirdo.
Could. It is. Year in and year out, there's one. We don't get a break. There's one of these every year somewhere. And then it gets all wrapped up in politics. You remember when the booger eaters got all upset at Chris Christie because he shook hands with Barack Obama and hugged him because Barack Obama was trying to do everything he could to make sure that New Jersey recovered after Sandy?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, those insurance company executives, they vote Republican. But they also damned well know that the Democrats and the scientists are right and climate change is real, because the insurance industry was one of the first major industrial groups to say, oh yeah, the climate change and the sea level rise is real. We know, we write the checks.
Exactly.
And so when the house can't win anymore, mm-hmm. the house closes.
What that means for
places like North Carolina and South Carolina is potentially devastating.
Okay, so then only the uber wealthy will live near the coast in the interim, because no one will insure them, but they have enough money to rebuild if they have to.
Yeah, but the uber wealthy aren't going to get out there and bust their ass and raise chickens and hogs and corn and green beans and tomatoes and peaches, and they're not going to do that. And they're certainly not going to absorb the losses when somebody else's gets wiped out.
So what does that mean?
It means that there's a collapse coming.
Well, there's no way around it now. I mean, there's no way around it. And that, you haven't even tossed it in the healthcare yet.
No.
Because remember, we're getting strained on health. We're going to get strained from this on health care, plus the strain of the non-working health care system as it is.
I mean, we can't even begin to calculate. So, you know, whatever the death toll is out of Florence, how do I say this without being a complete asshole? Their problems are over. The grief and the anguish of the survivors is not. But the people who have been injured, the people who required medical attention, medical care, medical assistance, Todd, those folks getting a bill that they can't pay. Ron in Raleigh with an observation. The federal government needs to stop subsidizing flood insurance for the coastal dwellers, especially on the Outer Banks. The banks are barrier islands. They need to return to their natural purpose. We pay for the vanity of these wealthy beach dwellers. Think about the opening montage of The Expanse showing the shrinking of Manhattan Island and the seawalls around Ellis Island. Oddly enough, I had thought of that. I mean, I don't think that we can, and maybe I just lose people with all of this. I'm not trying to be Alex Jones or any of that crazy bullshit. I try to base on science and not the fact that there are monkey jellyfish hybrids for sale in Hong Kong. And God knows those things are probably on the streets now after what Mongkut's done. That's terrifying.
Yeah.
But this is big macro stuff that even an economy the size of the United States is not prepared to absorb. Somebody has got to lose in all of this, because capitalism is predicated on winners and losers. Socialism, not so much, but capitalism absolutely is.
It is.
And the losers, more often than not, Todd, the losers are the people who can't afford to be winners. The people who don't have captive members of Congress and Republicans to get sweetheart checks written for them.
Okay, let me give you a very salient example, and I had to make a correction. Because I think last time we talked, I kept saying, a couple years ago, I think I was saying Floyd, but Matthew. So we really are. There's a lot of areas around here that are just now really getting on their feet. Now, I still have mildew areas on the north side of my house that will never go away, because remember when Matthew came, it rained every day for a month, before the storm. So we were super saturated. You know, just to put things in perspective. Now, folks are still getting back on their feet from that. Now, this is, the whole eastern half of North Carolina is devastated. And the trucking, you have to go hundreds of miles out of the way because I-95 is closed. Okay, and that, we're not even talking about rebuilding these roads. And then you're talking about salt water. You know, salt water is corrosive. I don't need to state the obvious, but yeah. So you really are actually presenting here, and so basically our bankruptcy is looming, and there's no way around it. That's what you're saying.
Not without having some really really sober, fact-based conversations that don't involve prayer. Julius Geezer wants to build a wall between the United States and Mexico. And we know what kind of money's involved with that, right?
He wants to get, that's only because he wants to get.
Do you have any idea, what it would cost to build, say, a 100-foot wall that would withstand 200-mile-an-hour winds, say, 30 miles out from the U.S. coast?
Billions. Untold. Maybe trillions.
Trillions.
Yeah. Well, all right, but we got to do the workaround. You know, we got to do it in case junk, in case solid waste in concrete and make new reefs. I don't know. We got to think outside the box. You know, we got to do something.
Yeah, but Steve points out, Ron is 100% right. The wealthy that own those beach houses will get taken care of, while the poor that live between I-95 and the coast will take it on the chin.
Yeah, and then we have to pay for the roads so they can get to their house. That's what you know what I mean. Think about it. We got to pay for their roads so they can get where they want to go. Unless they build a toll road, but they don't like toll roads down here. You know, they don't.
No, I don't like toll roads either.
Me either. And you. Look, do you remember Northern Virginia last year or whenever you were up there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And then they switched. Look, the rate, you can't even. It might be $1.50, and, you know, it might be $3, depends on the time of day. Oh, man, what a mess. You put a lot on the tape. This thing, look, we don't even know. I mean, this is frightening. Do you understand that this water, Saturday. Have you heard Honoree? Have you heard the old general? He looks much better now. Did you hear him or see him on TV?
No, I didn't catch him, but I imagine he wasn't. He wasn't soft soaping anything.
He wasn't. Oh, he's rough around the edges. He always has been. But I'm gonna tell you something. And it reminds me of McCain's funeral. I think one of the better things to come out of McCain's funeral, it was just nice seeing competent, powerful people speak. And it was comforting to hear normal people, either with or without power, with influence, speak. As opposed to what we're dealing with now, because now we need a leader. We don't need buffoonery and folks with mental illness. You know, I don't care what party you're with. We got to have a leader. Because what are you talking about? This is serious doo-doo here. And it's not going to take long for this shit to hit the fan with these insurance companies. And it's going to be a big... People are wiped out. They have nothing. Nothing. So, I don't know. This water is coming down. A lot of these smaller communities are going to have to make decisions. Remember, folks who live below a dam, everybody who's above the dam, they want to let the dam open so that they don't flood. But then you flood the next community below you. See, and remember, you look at the Carolinas from space. Everything runs down from North Carolina. You know, North Carolina is more mountainous. It's higher. You know, we're flat. So this is going to be a huge mess. I don't know what to say anymore. But I know somebody else might want to talk with you, but I want to mention this. I didn't want to be misunderstood with Kavanaugh. And when I said it doesn't matter, what I'm saying is that, there's nothing we can do about it, but it would seem like common sense would dictate that this particular president should not be in the position of choosing another Supreme Court justice, given the fact that he absolutely is the subject of a federal investigation, and he's up to his neck in legal trouble. That just defies. I understand it's constitutionally allowable, but that's not good policy. But that being said, we have to ask ourselves what kind of country are we? Is this what the founding fathers were talking about when they said beware of political parties? Did they mean this would bleed into the Supreme Court decision?
Well, I mean, I'm the wrong guy. You want Dr. Bill for this, but I'll do my best Dr. Bill impression. If you go to Federalist 10, you will see Madison talking about what nightmares faction can wreak on a governmental structure.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, everything gets... And, you know, his worst nightmares... He talks himself into something he feels like he can live with in Federalist 10. But the bottom line is, I don't think he believed what he was writing. I think he knew what was coming. And so, faction, because it was already happening. It had already happened during the Articles of Confederation. There were people lining up on the Washington side of things, and people lining up on the Jefferson side of the of things, and they were really quite incompatible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And so, you know, yeah, I mean.
Okay, then let me pose this question to you, because this is something that I don't know. I've only been thinking about this for a couple of weeks, but now that I'm thinking about it, it really irritates me. Check this. We have to, like, okay, these political parties that we have to deal with, we all know they're private entities. That's why people say, why can't you sue the DNC for shitting Bernie? No, for fucking Bernie. Nothing you can do about it. They make the rules. But how perverse is it that we have to go through a private entity to enter into the higher echelon of public service? That's perverse. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do, but flesh it out.
Okay. Our political parties are private. They're like the NFL.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
All right. See, and I hate to use the sport analogy, but it fits. It fits in every facet that I can. Then think about this. Think about this. You could have a group of guys, big dudes, been in prison, lifting weights, ready to kick some ass. You could have a fucking team. But guess what? You'll never play anybody if the NFL won't let you in. You can have the most whole country. Everybody loves this person. But unless a political party lets them in, they will never be on the ballot, and they will never be elected, because you have to go through these private entities that we call political parties that rely on funding from, you know what, now Citizens United, from anybody. That money could be coming from Russia. You don't know where the money's coming from. It could be coming from it could be dope money from Afghanistan. You don't know, because they got plenty of dope. So – you know, the whole, in other words, the whole is as straight and narrow as you try to start off as a politician. At some point, you're going to have to pay the piper, because it's about money, and you got to go through that private entity to enter public service at the federal level, you know, to be president. And that is really fucked up. That is fucked up.
I agree.
I don't know if people. Are people not thinking about this? I mean, we got to study this shit. This is not making any sense.
Well, I opened this door, and I almost don't know. I don't know how to keep going because we fundamentally, and I keep using that term, we fundamentally do not appreciate or understand what it is we are dealing with. Just don't. And we're not going to stop burning fossil fuels tomorrow. That might actually be the only hope humanity has, but the only hope humanity has if we stop burning fossil fuels tomorrow would be to see a whole lot of humanity fucking die. You know, I listened to I was listening to the Green News Report when I rolled that before our conversation,
mm-hmm.
And I heard Brad and Desi talking about the Chinese government forced the evacuation of God only knows how many millions of people. Well, when do they get to go back home? And what if they don't? I saw video coming from the arrival of Mongkut. And there were great big, huge, you know, those great big, beautiful glass towers that they're building. Well, I saw, you know, 8-foot by 8-foot panes of glass falling 40 stories.
Holy cow.
Just blowing off the building.
Damn.
And if that starts happening, but again, China takes climate change seriously. We don't.
No.
And you know, I mentioned the insurance companies getting serious about climate change. Well, there are two entities in the United States where it doesn't matter how many Republicans are in there, they take climate change seriously because of the nature of what they do. One is the insurance industry. The other is the Pentagon. Because they understand that things like mass displacement and global catastrophe lead to them having to do their jobs. And if you've got a bunch of nuclear aircraft carriers parked in a place that gets hit by massive hurricanes all the time, sooner or later, something really bad is going to happen. So, you know,
I've been reading it. They have some of the cutting edge.
But how do you, fuels. You know, what I'm asking is, how do you maintain a civilization in places that are routinely despoiled by more and more and more climate-driven disasters? Let me see here. David, not too far from you in South Carolina, subject line, biblical storms. 3 1,000-year storms of biblical proportion have hit in the last 4 years in South Carolina.
Damn.
Now, at what point in time, the federal government wants to maintain this notion of normalcy. But it's a fraud. Every time one of these comes along, it gets harder to recover from it. And if one comes along, even as you're trying to climb out from the last one, like say, let's say something spins up and cruises into the Gulf of Mexico and hits where Harvey hit last year, you just about get to a point where you cannot get over that stuff. Technology will not get you over it. And how do you keep, if it's an agricultural situation, Todd, how do you force people to stay on the land and put their lives at risk with storms that they not, you know, it's not every 500 years anymore. It's next year. I mean, you said you just were on the edge of it. How annoyed, how put out, how irritated are you right now? And you were just on the edge of it.
Right.
If you're in the middle of it, do you look up and go, if this happens again next year, I guess we'll just do the same thing all over again and hope for the best? I honestly don't know.
We don't. For this particular incident right now, we don't even know how bad this is going to be.
No.
We're only about a quarter of the way through, believe it or not. I mean,
remember, a few months back, the Republicans gave away the future to their cronies. So not only are they talking about, cutting Medicare, cutting Medicaid, cutting Social Security, because we have to, because we don't have the money for that anymore, because we gave it to our rich buddies. Well, what happens, the Trump administration took $10 million away from FEMA and gave it to the ICE thugs.
Isn't that something in the shank of hurricane season? So they can house more human beings in a terrible way.
And so what happens and people who have not been through any kind of disaster that leads to FEMA involvement, they've got this myth in their heads about FEMA. That, at least FEMA's there. FEMA will take care of everything. And I'm sure people are sick to death of hearing me talking about the derecho of 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was defining here. It changed things, forever, as far as we can tell here.
Is that when you lost your appliances?
Yeah. And we went we went a year or two before we could fix our roof.
Mm-hmm.
And FEMA wasn't, and FEMA didn't pay for any of that.
No.
And none of our appliances got replaced. You know, they look at you and say, well, you know, if you can qualify for a loan, we can give you a FEMA guaranteed small business loan. What?
I don't want a loan.
You know, and it's not like we're sitting here on a floodplain. This is some of the highest ground around. But FEMA was as useless as tits on a boar.
And you know what? And we haven't even talked about the power grid yet. We still refuse to upgrade our power grid.
Right. Now, as far as the electricity is concerned, if you've got solar panels and you've got a distributed grid instead of a centralized one, you got a better chance of keeping the lights on. But who's got the money for that?
Well, don't get me started on that, man. I would like to have a discussion with you about sand and solar panels and jobs at one point. But if I could, for one second, because I see it's 8:20, I just want to say I really appreciate your comment. I thought it was eloquent when you talked about a timeline or a before and after in terms of when someone is abused. And I think that right. There's certain things in your life that you like mark, like certain things in my life. I know I did certain things at 13. Everybody has in their mind that's a mile marker, right? And you know, it changes people forever. You can't take it back. And I say this because I did not want you to think from that email that I disbelieve Dr. Ford. And only because I was typing that from a phone and it had typos and space errors, and I just couldn't get into it. So what I'm trying to say is that, well, I can see this from a lot of perspectives because you know I went to school with people like this. I went to prep boarding school, so I was around people like this. And yes, they act entitled and they just do what the hell they know they're not going to get in trouble. They do all kinds of fucked up shit. You know, I mean, remember Mr. Affluenza? You know, he was too rich to be prosecuted.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's how those folks operate. So that's one aspect. And we can't see for that woman, for Dr. Ford. See, and that's like for most of my family. Now, I worked at a university for 10 years, but I was in administration. But most of my family is in higher education. I have more than two family members who are emeritus, okay, and fully tenured, retired. You know, more than a couple. So I understand the politics that goes on in that, you know, when you're going for tenure and all that kind of stuff, there is no way in hell that woman's going to come forward with her. And Stanford, that is the Ivy League of the West Coast. That's
yep.
Arguably the best West Coast university. Stanford is, they write, you know how many psychology textbooks come out of Stanford? They look, that is the place. Now, I don't know if she's an adjunct or a full professor or did research on that yet, but, you know, it doesn't matter. She's from Stanford. You know, they don't hire any dummies. And for her to put herself, I hear people talk on the radio and TV like, well, yeah, it took a long time for it to come out that she was a professor. And then they just kind of gloss it over. But that's a big deal. You know, you put yourself in jeopardy because you're a public figure. You got all kinds of students. There's all types of repercussions that can come from that. Yeah, you don't work at Stanford unless you're published. You see, they're not hiring you unless either you've got something published or you're publishing something. You're working on something. So, this Kavanaugh. That's what I'm. The reason I said that. This is not the worst of it. It's like we have to go on facts. And we know that Dick Durbin has proven that man is lying. Why is it that Trump has to have sexual abusers and perjurers all around him? He is the devil. What the fuck is going on?
You tell me.
I mean, it's obvious that man has perjured himself. Matter of fact, we should be discussing how quickly he can be impeached from his current position on the D.C. Circuit Court, because he's been exposed.
Well, that's what Dr. Bill and I were talking about last night. If he has a perjury problem, you're not impeaching him for. You wouldn't be impeaching him for conduct before he got on the Supreme Court. You'd be impeaching him for conduct he engaged in while he was on the D.C. Circuit, at least in regards to the lies that he's told in his hearing. I don't know, but the question Dr. Bill raised was, what do you do about his conduct in receiving and trafficking in stolen property when he was a member of the Bush administration?
Right. You first of all, you have to get his peers to acknowledge it.
And what are the odds of that?
Well, I think that.
I mean, these people are badly enough scared as it is. If they give up on Kavanaugh, the conventional wisdom is that the evangelicals will stay away from the polls in droves. And that could theoretically really make it a blue wave. They've got to have him. And my money says that between Chuck Grassley and Mitch McConnell, they're gonna do it. They're gonna see. There's been a wrinkle since you and I have been talking. There's breaking news that I got an alert from the New York Times. Dr. Ford has said it would be inappropriate for, through a lawyer, of course, has said it would be inappropriate for her to testify before the FBI has had a chance to investigate. She wants the FBI to investigate. Theoretically, she can give names of people who were at the party who can put Brett Kavanaugh at the party. But it has to be properly investigated.
But the president is not willing to allow the FBI to investigate. But I don't know how much power he has over that.
If enough pressure is brought to bear, what will eventually, I'm guessing here, that if enough pressure is brought to bear, what will eventually happen is that the nomination will be withdrawn. Now, understand, Kavanaugh, I'm speculating, Kavanaugh is looking at his wife and saying to her, "Oh, honey, I would never do anything like that. That's not me. You know that's not me, Snookums."
Mm-hmm.
And Kavanaugh's wife is probably wondering, "I don't know." And she's probably thinking back to how it is that they go about, you know, doing the nasty. And she's wondering, there's a seed of doubt planted there, but he can't come. He has said it did not happen, period.
He painted himself into a corner.
So he's got nowhere to go from there. There's a big difference between it did not happen and I have no recollection. Mark Judge is trying the I have no recollection thing, and it's not playing well for him because he's written a book about being blackout drunk as a teenager.
Well, that's the problem. Right. That's the problem.
But here's the thing, and again, I'm speculating. Brett Kavanaugh knows what Brett Kavanaugh did. Brett Kavanaugh knows Brett Kavanaugh got blackout drunk because he was a little asshole. He was a little asshole prep school boy. Back then, and he knows who he ran with, and he knows that everybody knows he ran with Mark Judge, and he knows Mark Judge said he was a blackout drunk. And in fact, he even writes about Kavanaugh in his book and gives him a,
I didn't know that.
And gives him a slightly different name, like Bart O'Kavanaugh.
Hmm.
Okay.
Oh, Bart. Okay, see, he's our age. So, you know, that's when the Simpsons are just really getting big.
Well, Bart, Brett, you know, it's just a transposition. But the thing is, Kavanaugh is beginning to wonder what he might have done on one of those blackout drunk nights.
Yes, before the Simpsons. But I hear what you're saying. But it,
and so if it looks like people are gonna, and now the media are, the people have already gotten hold of the gotten hold of the yearbook, and now they're going to start looking around. And for all I know, maybe Dr. Ford's providing information as to whose house it was, what time of year it was, what, because all these girls went to different schools, and she came from a lower social stratum than he did, so it would have been okay to do her.
See, all right, okay. Let me interject something. Because, you know, we've all been to parties like this. Because remember, all right, so it's a keg party. It's a house party. Somebody's night out. So probably somewhere in D.C. or Maryland. You know how it is when you're at that teenage party or whatever, and it's mixed company, and somebody goes into a closed room, and maybe that's where the bathroom is or something. Somebody, they like, oh, he's in there with such and such. People are talking. Teenagers talk. That's what teenagers do. Teenagers talk. The only secrets don't get kept that long. Do you agree with that?
Pretty much, yeah.
So, even if his cohort, and I can understand that he's claiming he was blacked out or whatever, but there were people outside that door who knew what happened because somebody said something. And that's why the FBI needs to investigate. And that's what Dr. Ford is saying, I think. Maybe that's what you're intimating. Maybe that's what you're saying. But, see, this is just another black mark. I mean, here, this is not the only judge on the face of the earth. But you know what? Don't they have this, they got a dead session coming up. They can just...
Well, there'll be a lame duck session after the election. Mm. But you know, they hurried him in because they were in such a desperate, god-awful hurry to get there so that they could fuck America, because it was necessary to get him on there to protect, you know, Chlamydia Claudius.
That's the other thing.
They're gonna have to vet somebody. And it took them all these months, and they still didn't find out what they needed to find out.
Well, they were told not to use this guy. Mitch McConnell told Trump, don't pick this guy. That's what I've been hearing and reading. They told him, this guy's got skeletons. They knew he had skeletons. This is a sad state of affairs. Now, that man, I'm talking, he has no business. No business. Now, and we still don't have all the files on him yet, all the paperwork. See, this is a good stalling tactic, you know. But like I said, I believe this woman. And, you know, remember, she's in the mental health field. So she may be feeling... the duty to warn, you know, like Brandy Lee from, I believe it was Yale, who started that duty to warn when she got some other mental health professionals together. Do you remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. Well, let me play you something. Mike in Cascadia just sent this along.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a little complicated to do this because I'll be all night trying to get... trying to get it up into the production machine otherwise. So we're going to have, give me a couple of seconds of silence, then I'm going to run some audio for you. It's Brett Kavanaugh speaking at the Columbus School of Law. Stand by.
Before the talk, which is what happens at Georgetown Prep stays at Georgetown Prep. That's been a good thing for all of us, I think.
Got that?
Yeah.
Did you hear that, Todd?
Yep.
Now, I'm sure that that's not what... I'm sure he wasn't thinking of the time he tried to rape Dr. Ford. But there's an attitude there.
Oh, yes, Bob. I absolutely agree with you, and that reminds me of another statement he made when he was talking about something about Roe v. Wade, and said, "Yeah, we'll have to fix that." It was on C-SPAN. I think he was being interviewed by the Heritage Foundation. He's a little smug.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, Natasha Bertrand just reported, and David in South Carolina has sent this along. This is kind of a wow. Dr. Blasey Ford says that Grassley scheduled the public hearing Monday, expecting her to testify at the same table as Kavanaugh, at the same table as the man she says once tried to rape her. Imagine that.
Well.
I mean, it's clear Grassley doesn't believe her and doesn't care. Because politics is more important than the integrity of a woman's body, 36 years ago or right now. Just Republican power, Republican raw power politics trumps a woman's bodily integrity, which, of course, is what a lot of this fight is about, Todd.
Is Chuck Grassley married?
I presume so.
Only reason I'm asking,
but he's a creepy old bastard, and he's been a creepy bastard since he was a young guy.
Well, does he not have a woman close to him that would tell him,
No, because she's a Republican woman.
That's offensive.
Maybe I'm going to get hate mail over that, but to sit and expect Republican women to act in accordance with their gender as opposed to their politics is to completely not understand what it is to be a goddamn Republican.
So he wants to traumatize Dr. Ford again by having her is supposed to follow through. Then he's like, you know what? You can come, but you're going to have to sit next to this guy. Wow, what an ass. That's crazy. I'm kind of disgusted. How many red flags do we have to have, man? Come on. What's the rush? What's the fucking rush, number one? What's the rush? They wouldn't even hear the moderate guy, Garland. My God, he was just straight. Really, he wasn't that great. He was no prize. What is the rush? We've gone this long. There is no rush. And the only reason he got picked is because he has already...
Well, there's... No. I mean, yeah, hold the damn phone. There's a rush. There's a rush. And the rush has a name. And the name of the rush is Robert Mueller. And this guy... in particular, is the one they want because they're counting on him to kill Mueller's investigation stone cold dead. That's why Brett Kavanaugh got the nod that somebody else that was higher on the list and had been on the list longer didn't. Like I said the other night, the walls are closing in around Trump to the point that his hairdo is beginning to feel like a two-dimensional mohawk.
Can you see how drugged up he is? I heard you mention that. He is on so many pills now, it's not even funny. They're trying to keep him in the middle, because to keep him from being manic and depressed. He's off. He's off. Yeah. Okay. And let me ask you this, because this is something that just came out kind of in the past couple of days, but it's frightening to me. How in the hell is it okay for this fascist asshole to release documents pertaining to an ongoing investigation. All the professionals have been saying it's going to reveal procedures. Yeah, that's not the correct term, but, you know, the things they're doing. We have embedded spies. He already did that shit once. He probably already got a couple people killed. See, that's the thing. This guy is petty. The president is petty. He is willing to do anything to save his butt. He doesn't care. This is frightening. And it was nothing we can do to rein his ass in. And somebody has to stand up. Somebody has to do something. He is doing exactly. It's like Putin is sitting on his shoulder. The terror.
Well, that's why this whole thing. And there needs to. And somebody, preferably from the Democratic side of the Senate Judiciary Committee, needs to stand up and say, "Listen. I know that my dear friend Senator Flake over here has had a lot of problems with Donald Trump's behavior. Well, here's the bottom line. He can stop all of this. Period. But barring that, let's be clear. No president, Democrat or Republican, who is implicated in felonies should be allowed to appoint Supreme Court justices who might damned well judge his case." And Kavanaugh won't even say that he would recuse himself in such an instance.
That's another thing. This guy's got to go. All right. So can Congress pass a bill that would to that effect?
Congress could, but the president would have to sign it. No, this is a matter of procedure, not legislation. Mitch McConnell has already asserted the right of the Senate not to consider anyone sent by the president for advice and consent for a seat on the Supreme Court. Well, that needs to happen now.
Yeah.
Merrick Garland was not likely to judge a man who had been implicated in a pair of felonies. Merrick Garland was a middle-of-the-roader that every Republican in the entire Senate had said, "Well, that's my kind of judge. I like him. Ooh, I can't wait to vote for him on the D.C. circuit." And they voted for him 99-1. Or 99-0, maybe. Can't remember. But now we've got a judge who has perjured himself, implicated himself in a felony, and possibly is implicated in another felony. Attempted rape, I believe, is a felony in the state of Maryland. On the other hand, Michael in Madison says, "Hey, Bob, what makes you say Chuck doesn't believe her? He probably knows better than most the allegations to be factual. He simply doesn't care." Right. Because he's a Republican. Because raw power politics comes before everything. Everything.
So, it's the raw power move.
Yeah. You know, James in Illinois says, "Time may be up on the GOP Senate. Are they going to want to rush another nominee through in the lame duck session? They'll be busy trying to push a lot of other shit through. There's only so much oxygen." And they got another tax cut that they want to ramrod through. They're not done fucking our country. They got several strokes left.
Well,
and by the way, well, Tracy said, "Let Todd know I'm happy to hear from him. I love the conversations that you two have, and I'm glad he's okay."
Thank you, Tracy. You made Bob's day, and you made my day. And I'm breathing, Tracy. Thank you very much.
Breathe. 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 Yes. Oh, and we heard from Clarence. Clarence said, "I got cut off at Rocky Mount, North Carolina, when I-95 got shut down. My sister lost her house in Lumberton, North Carolina, water up to the roof. Todd was right. My trucking company is routing me over 600 miles to get home. Florence, South Carolina was hit with minimal damage."
Wow. 400 miles.
Yeah.
Damn. Now, look, that's, you can't sustain these extra costs.
And the thing is, and again, these are not one-offs. I don't know how many people have or how many people will, but, you know, when you get a minute, go look up Mohenjo-Daro, M-O-H-E-N-J-O-D-A-R-O, or Harappan Civilization, H-A-R-R-A-P-A-N.
Okay.
There are times on this planet when people have simply walked away from their cities. Because it became impossible to live in them anymore. It's not that the marauding hordes came down and killed everybody and carried them away. It's that they had sited them in such a way that there was, you know, the course of the Indus River changed. You know, they thought they were good, then they weren't good. The collapse, of the southwestern civilizations that built the Pueblos. The collapse of Mayan civilization, the collapse of Olmec civilization, the collapse of Toltec civilization. Civilizations rise and they fall. Hell, the collapse of the civilization that built Angkor Wat. And we, for all our engineering prowess, do not have the power to control the tides. And don't have the power to control the winds. You know, we once upon a time, if we'd taken it seriously, we had the power to maybe not have this be as bad, but we blew past that when we decided that we didn't like Jimmy Carter making us feel all icky. And we wanted a greasy-headed old B-movie actor who would tell us, "Well, Mommy, it's morning in America, and I'm going to face down the Russian bear. Brooga, brooga, brooga."
Didn't he take down the solar panels off the White House?
First damn thing he did.
Ain't that some shit? This is what I'm saying. I don't even. I know you don't believe in God, but I'm just saying this is like good and easy for him now. Seriously, think about it. We have all.
No, the only deity like force in the universe is irony, and that's an example of it. But Todd, I'm glad to hear from you, my friend. I really, really am. And hopefully things will dry out and get less squishy, and we'll be back to talking about barbecue soon.
Okay, Bob, and I appreciate it.
Because I'm not going to be a jerk here and talk for a second night in a row about how awesome those butts were.
I know, man. Come on, you're professional now. I was done with you when I found out you had gloves.
Oh, no, he's got gloves. He ain't fooling around anymore.
He's not fooling around. I'll check in with you after a while, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, be good, Todd. Take care. Bye now.
Okay.
Our buddy Todd, glad to know he's safe down there in South Carolina. Well, here we are, 12 minutes before the hour. Thank you, Keith, for stepping in on fundraising this evening. There's nothing else. So I guess that means tomorrow we'll be looking at $490 in a fundraising goal for prayer meeting Wednesday. If anybody wants to help knock that down, you're mighty welcome to, and it would be a mighty welcome thing to have it done. I want to get done with September's fundraising on Friday so we can have fundraising-free broadcasting next week. But we've got a... We've got to get there. So, you know, here's the good thing. $290 is only 10 people at 29 people at $10. So, you know, 10 new PayPal or 29 new PayPal subscribers would be awesome on a day like this. But We've covered a lot of ground, and I wish I could put into better terms this thing that I'm getting at about us not knowing what massive human displacement really looks like. The last time it happened was the Dust Bowl, and there are very few people left alive who can talk about that reality. We saw what happened in the aftermath of Katrina, and there are probably still people trying to get back home. Eileen with a note for Todd. You go, Todd. So glad you're safe. I really missed your take on life. Thank you, Eileen. Let's see here. A little something just to wrap up with for the evening. That's a save till tomorrow. Oh, yeah, I know. I wanted to go here early in the program. There is, and this is just so right-wing loony, but, you know, we cover that sort of stuff. Apparently, Lindsey Graham has been trying to placate Trump in the wake of the passing of John McCain. And so Lindsey said that, well, I feel certain that eventually Trump and McCain could have been friends, could have gotten to know one another. This is in an interview with the Associated Press. They would have become, McCain and Trump would have become friends over time. Well, somewhat shortly thereafter, TMZ caught up with Cindy McCain, John McCain's widow. Her response, you get the idea, maybe she's not a member of the Precious Lindsey fan club. My husband, she said, is at peace. I know he is at peace for what he did and how he felt. I wish he was still here. So, no, Lindsey, I don't think Cindy's going to get on the John secretly wanted to be BFFs with Donald Trump train. I mention that because, you know, there's always some weird. And here's the latest paranoid conspiracy theory, courtesy of the White Wing. This is Mark Taylor, who calls himself the Firefighter Prophet. We've heard from him before.
When they drop the hammer on these guys, and I believe there will be executions, and we both know that John McCain was executed, under military tribunals.
What?
And which is another reason why Kavanaugh, Judge Kavanaugh, they're screaming so loud. They're trying to disguise it that it's abortion that they're worried about. That's not what they're worried about. They want a solid 5-4 vote for the military tribunals. Because if you notice the line of questioning for Lindsey Graham the other day, he said, hey, you know, if someone who's a civilian commits treason, does it fall under civil or military? And he said, military. And that put a shockwave. That put the fear of God in every one of them. That's why they're fighting this guy so hard. It's not Roe versus Wade yet that they're worried about. It's the military tribunals because they know it's going to cost them lives and they're going to be executed.
Wow. Well, you said, this isn't a question, but I'm just curious. You said that McCain was executed. Obviously, there's a story going around that he had brain cancer. That wasn't it?
Right. I don't think that was it, honestly, because then you had what came out the other day. Who was it? Kasich slipped up on an interview. And on CNN and said that, he was basically executed. So it was a slip of the tongue. And it's like, you cannot, and I told someone this the other day, I said, look, when you watched John McCain's funeral and you saw the entire cabal right there in one spot, And they could have rounded them all up right there, man, if they wanted to. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Man, these people weren't smiling. I mean, they knew. But John McCain.
Really? How many people are supposed to be grinning at a funeral? I mean, that's just me.
Was a prophetic marker in time that we have moved from judgment to justice is now being served, period. And they know it. And they know that if they don't do something to stop this, they're next. So if they, because John McCain was the number three guy. You had Barack Obama being number one, Hillary Clinton being number two, and John McCain being number three. So,
of what? The weekly Canasta League? You got to wonder about the quality of the acid these people get.
They can take down the head of ISIS, John McCain. You know what I mean?
What? John McCain's the head of ISIS now? Yeah, they're just saying shit. And knowing that there's about 30% of the American people will go, yep, sounds right to me. Let's go to Olive Garden.
For three guy out of all of this, they know they're next.
Wow.
So that's why they're scared to death. That's why they're screaming.
I might be screaming too. You'd think maybe Cindy McCain would know that her husband had been taken down by a, I don't know, military tribunal. Where was this military tribunal? Where's it meeting? Who heads it? Who are the prosecutors? Who are the defense lawyers? It's not about Roe v. Wade. Once again, a white male dismissing the concerns of women over over their agency over their own bodies. Jesus. But, I mean, that was kind of a new one. No kidding. Just bizarre. Just bizarre. Let's see. James in Illinois. Drumpf and McCain? Maybe in the Hanoi Hilton. There's a jingle for that. Meanwhile, Scott with a note. Memo to Lindsey Graham. Just because McCain was your favorite sleepover pal doesn't mean that McCain would be with Trump. Like, ever? Interesting times. Interesting times. So it's time to get out of here. Thank you all very kindly for tuning in this evening. Thank you for joining in the conversation. Thank you for your participation, however it is you participate, even if it's just sitting and yelling at me. Thanks to all of you who helped keep the program on the air. Thank you to our subscribers. Thank you very kindly this evening to Keith. Maybe something will change overnight. I don't know. Hopefully it will. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky in the chat room this evening. Thank you very kindly to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Thank you, John Fox, White Rose Society.org. And thank you to Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. Well, that's mighty kind of you, Anatole. Thank you. Thank you for another great program, Mr. Bob. Thank you for being there, Anatole. Thank you to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in this little conversation. Keep getting well, Steve from Georgia Stan. Keep me posted. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Later, y'all.